We're doing the Rambam's introduction to Sefer HaMitzvot. We're up to page 11 in the standard editions, page Chaf Beis in the Frankel editions. In the standard editions, there's a hey in parentheses, and it begins Ubeferush Amru. In the Frankel editions, it's three lines from the bottom, Umforash Amru. And the Ramban had been discussing that we find that anything that's a biblical mitzvah, we're more stringent on. Things that are from Moshe from Sinai, we're also stringent on. And maybe a person will be stubborn and say that, you know why we're lenient on rabbinic things? Because the rabbis, when they instituted their own works, they made a condition. They said, we're going to make rabbinic institutions. And when in doubt, we want you to know that ours are not like the Torah's institution. We want to make a point of discernment. So when in doubt, you will be lenient. Even though technically we would go with the Rambam that every rabbinic mitzvah is two biblical mitzvot, but once they're the ones calling the shots, once they're making the rules, they can make this rule. The Ramban says, if you want to say that, so he says, that doesn't make sense to me. He says, ואין אלו דברים הגונים. This isn't an honest way of approaching things. ולא שליקה. Nor is this with a basis. And he continues and says, ומפורש אמרו. And the rabbis clearly said when it came to rabbinic institutions. Now he's going to prove his point. That rabbinic institutions are not treated as two biblical institutions. As two biblical mitzvot. He brought many claims against the Rambam. His major claim was, why are we so lenient? And he brought all kinds of extreme examples as to how lenient we're going to be in rabbinic mitzvot, even in cases where we contradict ourselves, right? Where we're lenient in two different points. Like, you remember the story of Ben Ashmashos, Friday afternoon, the Erev, one guy's Erev got eaten, when the other guy's Erev got put down. He said, you're contradicting yourself, and you're so lenient. Yeah, because it's rabbinic, the Gemara says. So he brought extreme examples, and he says, maybe you'll be stubborn. He says, that's not honest, and that's not true. But now he's going to continue to prove it. The Talmud says in Brachos, Beperek Mishemeto, Gadol Kvod HaBriyot Shaduchai Lo Taseh Shabbat Torah. The Talmud over there says, you know how important human dignity is in the eyes of Halacha? You know, if you have a biblical prohibition, there can be an instance where human dignity overcomes the biblical prohibition. That's what the Gemara says. Then the Gemara says, what? What do you mean? Human dignity against the prohibition? How does that work? Tirgim Rav Bar Sheva Kamed Rav Kahana. So Rav Bar Sheva explained in the academy before Rav Kahana. Belav Delot Asur. You know what they're talking about? When it comes to the rabbinic institutions, the Torah says, do not sway from what the rabbis tell you. So when it comes to that commandment to do what the rabbis tell you, if what the rabbis tell you, if you have a rabbinic mitzvah and it comes in contradiction with human dignity, there can be instances where we'd be lenient in favor of the rabbinic institution. So at first glance, in favor of human dignity. So at first glance, that seems to indicate, like the Rambam, that every rabbinic institution is backed by the biblical commandment, do not sway from what they say. Right? That's what it seems like at first glance. Continues the Gemara and says, Achichu alei. The academy burst out laughing. They thought he was joking. He said, you know when does human dignity override a biblical prohibition? When it comes to the prohibition of swaying from what the rabbis say. Achichu alei. Everyone smiled. Everyone laughed. Lav de lo tasu nami doraita hu. What does your Rambam say? Lav de lo tasu? Lav delot asur achichu alei, lav delot asur namidoraito. So our Gemara says it slightly differently. So the Gemara says, the way he's quoting it, why are they all laughing? Because lot asur is also biblical. So what is it? Why would we be more lenient on a biblical commandment? Amalu Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana turns to the academy and says, you laughed at him because you claim that's also biblical? Now that would seem like they're going with the Rambam. Rav Kahana, the head of the academy, turned to them and said, Gavar Rabam Amilta lo tachichu alei. If a big man says something, don't you laugh at him. Kol milit Rabbanan alav de lo tasur asmechu. All rabbinic institutions lean on this prohibition. All rabbinic institutions have an asmachta. Asmachta means, if you want to find an allusion in the Torah to the concept, this is an allusion. It's not a derivation, it's an allusion. It's an asmachta, you could lean on it. And when you have an instance of human dignity, there the rabbis did not make their prohibitions, and we would go in favor of human dignity over the rabbinic institution. Now, the way the Ramban quotes the Gemara is not the way we have the Gemara. But the way the Ramban quotes the Gemara, if we wanted to tear the Gemara apart, we could say the Gemara is a very strong proof to the Ramban. You guys with me? Let's see, what did they say? They said, they began with a quote, human dignity can override a biblical prohibition. Rambam holds every rabbinic institution is backed by a rabbinical, by a biblical commandment and a biblical prohibition, right? That's what we're discussing so far. Ramban says, no way. Rabbinic institutions, the rabbis were given the power by the Torah to make them, but the institutions themselves are not a biblical commandment. There's no biblical commandment per se. Do what the rabbi said, light Hanukkah candles. When you're lighting Hanukkah candles, you're not in fulfillment of any biblical mitzvah. You're just doing what the rabbi said. The power was vested in them by the Torah when the Torah gave these two commandments. But at the end of the day, it's a rabbinic institution. Comes the Gemara and says, human dignity will push off a biblical prohibition. Comes Rav Bar Shiva and says, that's the prohibition of do not sway from what the rabbis tell you. Everyone laughs. Says Rav Kahana, don't laugh. All rabbinic institutions are leaning on this prohibition. So that seems like the Ramban, not like the Rambam. Seems like they're leaning on it, not derived from it. But then he concludes with other words. He concludes and says, and where there's a contradiction with human dignity, the rabbis did not institute. Why do you have to say that? He should have just said, and the rabbis said that human dignity will override rabbinic institutions. He didn't say that. And the wording, Binkom Kvod Abriyot Lo Gazru Rabbanan, in a situation where it contradicts human dignity, the rabbis did not make their institution, certainly sounds like what the Ramban is coming to refute. It sounds like they made this pre-stipulation. If we say you're not supposed to carry rocks because they're muktzeh, and a guy needs to go to the bathroom and he doesn't have rocks to wipe himself, so we say human dignity overrides, let him carry the rocks. Right? That's a classical case that the Talmud brings, where for the sake of human dignity, the rabbi said we'll forgo our institution. Rocks are muktzeh, but if he needs the rocks, because otherwise he won't be able to wipe himself, okay. What does it say here? In an instance of human dignity, they did not make their institution. It doesn't say, in general, human dignity overrides. Right? That sounds exactly like what the Ramban is coming to refute. What did the Ramban say? Don't tell me in the Ramban, all rabbinic institutions are really biblical. So why are we lenient? Because the rabbis instituted, you should be lenient. That's not true. What does it seem to say here? The rabbi said so, that's why you're lenient, right? Okay, so we're going to ignore that. We're going to continue with the Ramban, but we noticed it.
Okay.
You with me? Okay, wouldn't want you again. Okay. Harei bechan mevohar. Over here, says the Ramban, it's been clarified, shelav zeh delot asu, that this prohibition, do not sway from what they tell you, hu kishar alavin shel Torah, it's like any other prohibition, aval divrehem al zeh halav asmichinu, but the really on the surface this is as powerful as any other prohibition, but the Gemara was careful to say the rabbis leaned their words on this smach be'alma, only a leaning lechizuk, only like to strengthen what they said. Lo sheyeh be'minat Torah zara klal boto alav. The Gemara clearly says it's not like you're forewarned by the Torah, do what the rabbis say. If you don't do what they say, you're transgressing what I say. No, that's not what it says. The Talmud says, the Ramban is focusing on that word, that the rabbis leaned what they instituted on that, on the prohibition. It doesn't say that every institution of theirs is also this prohibition. That it doesn't say. So that's where those words in the Gemara back the Ramban. We pointed out that there's also room to go with the Ramban. But we can't ignore the Ramban's proof is a very strong proof. The Gemara does call it asmechinu. They lean on it. They don't derive it from it. Yeah, guys, we're all together. Okay. So that was proof number one. Proof number two. The Amru v'Perek Ira, and the rabbis say in Shabbos, the third chapter, Misherabu Overei Avera. When there are too many people sinning, Asuakod, they forbade everything. Initially, the rabbi said, you can take a shower on Shabbos. You can take a hot bath on Shabbos. Then people started taking hot baths on Shabbos, and they'd come to the bathhouses, and the bath wasn't hot enough, and they'd look the guy in charge and say, hum, hum. And he'd go throw a few logs on the fire. And that's biblically prohibited on Shabbos. So the rabbi said, no taking hot baths on Shabbos, but you can walk in there. They used to go into there for a sauna. You want to go walk through the hot bathhouses on Shabbos just to enjoy the heat, to enjoy the steam, that's okay. People would go into the bathhouses, say they were just going for the steam, take a full-fledged bath, look at the guy who was in charge of heating up the bath, go hum, hum. He'd throw a few logs. More biblical prohibitions on Shabbos. The rabbi said, forget it, everything's forbidden. No hot baths on Shabbos. No going into the bathhouses on Shabbos. Nothing. It's all closed. Close the bathhouses on Shabbos. No going in. So that's this line in the Talmud. Misherabu v'rei avera, when there were so many people sinning blatantly on Shabbos, asu akol, the rabbis forbade everything. Amar Rava. So Rava says, Shema mina, we understand from here, Haiman da avara de rabbanan, if someone goes against the rabbinic institution, Shari le mikre avariana, you could call him a sinner. Avariana means a guy who's openly sinning, he goes against the Torah. So this guy is only going against the rabbinic institution. From this Gemara, we're missing the beginning of the Gemara, where someone was called an avarian. But from this Gemara, we learn that if someone goes, transgresses a rabbinic institution, you could call him an avarian. We're all in Ulpan. What's an avarian in modern Hebrew? No, avarian is a mobster in modern Hebrew.
A mobster?
Someone who's in the mob, yeah. An avarian is like a guy who's always going over the law. But in Tanaic Hebrew, in the Talmud, avarian is someone who transgresses the laws of the Torah. So even though he only transgresses a rabbinic institution, from this Gemara we derive that you can still call him an avarian. Right.
Okay. What's an apikoros?
Good question. Let's leave that for now.
Is there somebody like know has knowledge and not?
You want a good answer or a short answer?
Talk to you later.
Okay. Back to the Rambam. Ramban. V'sham b'perek mi shemet. We skipped a second. V'ilu haya over al divrehin, over ala v'asei shel Torah. And if we would go with the Rambam, that when someone transgresses a rabbinic institution, he's transgressing two biblical mitzvot. What does the Gemara have to tell me? You could call him a sinner. The whole point is he's only transgressing a rabbinic institution, so you could still call him a guy who's sinning against the Torah. That's what the Gemara is saying. If we go with the Rambam and we say, well, every rabbinic institution is two biblical mitzvot, so of course you could call him a sinner. Of course you could say he's sinning against the Torah, right? It's a good proof the Ramban's bringing, right?
Wait, the thing is,
I'm
because
waiting. Yeah,
because they're saying because they made a point to say that it was still considered that he's a mobster. So that's why they were pointing that out. So it seems like they don't think that they don't agree with the Ramban.
Right.
Okay.
His point, avarian means someone who's transgressing the Torah. Right. Well, according to the Ramban, of course he's transgressing the Torah. And if we could go like the Rambam, we could even kill him as an elder or rebellious elder because he disagrees in a rabbinic institution. So then, of course, you'd call him an avarian. You don't need this Gemara altogether. And going back to the Talmud, back in Brachos, the Gemara discusses: do women have to say Birkat Hamazon, biblically or rabbinically? The Gemara doesn't come to a conclusion. We don't know. The Gemara says, what's the difference? You have to bench anyways. What's the difference if it's biblical or rabbinic? Says the Gemara, if it's biblical, then women could say for men, technically.
They could be motzi,
right? And if it's rabbinic, So how could they, who are only obligated rabbinically, say it on behalf of someone who's obligated biblically? I told you guys the story. I was on a date. I didn't remember if I said Birkat HaMazon. I said to the girl, she should make it for me, but she had the bench too. I said, you make it. She looks at me and says, are you sure? I said, why not? She said, well, the Gemara doesn't conclude whether I'm obligated biblically or not. You're obligated biblically. How could I say for you? I said, you're right, you're right. I forgot this Gemara. She was right.
She's better than nothing.
So we went and bought more bread or something. I don't remember what we did. And in the town, now, the truth is, the Rambam could punch back with two punches here, that you can't compare. If the biblical obligation is the obligation that the verse says, after you eat, you must bench, that's one type of biblical obligation. If the biblical obligation is listen to the rabbis, who said that a biblical obligation of listen to the rabbis can say Birkat HaMazon for the biblical obligation of say Birkat HaMazon? They're two different biblical obligations. So they're both biblical, fine. But who said they're connected? A guy takes a vow. I will say Birkat HaMazon now. Okay? Now he's biblically obligated to say Birkat HaMazon, right? Biblically, he just said a vow. So it's not accurate what I'm saying, but let's say. So now you're going to say because he took the vow, he could say it for them? He's biblically obligated, but it's a totally different obligation. What does one have to do with the other? So I'm saying the Ramban's proof, the Rambam can answer, wait, that's no proof. Right? Okay, so who am I? I mean, the Ramban is a giant, and I'm not even a nothing. But I'm just saying, you know, logically, we might be able to offer this answer. Back to the Ramban, yeah? Okay. And in the Talmud, in Pesachim and Zvachim, the Gemara says, ואפילו למען דבר מצוות אינן מבטלות זו אני מיד דורייתא ודורייתא דרבנן ודרבנן אף דרבנן דורייתא דרבנן ודרבנן דורייתא. The Gemara discusses eating sandwiches. Gemara says you have to eat matzah Pesach night, yeah? So let's say you say matzah's a great idea, I'll take my matzah, I don't like matzah, so I'll cover it with chocolate spread. So I take a thick layer of chocolate spread. Then I say, you know what? Chocolate spread is really yummy with peanut butter. So I cover it with peanut butter. Then I say, you know what? This is going to be even better with fluff. You know, I take fluff, like marshmallow fluff. I pour that on. I have this big sandwich. I have a little bit of matzah underneath. I say, look, God wants me to enjoy. God wants me to eat the matzah with a zest. This is matzah. Oh, says the Talmud. When you eat the matzah and you have something else in your mouth that you're not obligated to eat, that something else cancels out the flavor of the matzah. And you did not fulfill the obligation of Pesach night eating matzah. Now, what happens if you have a sacrifice? You're supposed to eat the sacrifice. So you say, okay, I'll eat the sacrifice, but I'm not a big meat fan, I'm a vegetarian. So I'll wrap the meat in a bunch of vegetables. Same thing. The Talmud says, given. When you have a biblical obligation to eat a food, you cannot mix it with something else. So the first kezias, the beginning one, we have to eat the matzah at the Seder. You've been in my house for Pesach, no? First thing we do, we eat plain matzah, right? The Gemara says, what about if I'm going to eat my matzah with maror? The maror is rabbinic, the matzah is biblical. So the Talmud starts discussing what's biblical, what's rabbinic. The Talmud says, what's the difference? Talmud says what we just read. If it's a biblical obligation to eat the maror, if it's biblical, so then two biblical mitzvot don't cancel one another out. If it's rabbinic, so then a biblical mitzvah and a rabbinic mitzvah, well, the rabbinic mitzvah, it's as though it doesn't exist. So it's as though, as far as the Bible is concerned, you're eating it with marshmallow fluff. So that would cancel out the biblical mitzvah. Just as though you're eating it with marshmallow fluff. Ah, the rabbi said you have to eat maror on Pesach night, but it's rabbinic. From the Torah's perspective, it doesn't exist. The Torah didn't tell you to eat maror tonight, right? Now this is a strong proof against the Rambam, in my humble opinion. Because here I don't care what the source is. I don't care if it's biblical or rabbinic. I don't care if it's the same mitzvah or a different mitzvah. Here I couldn't give the answer I gave before. Because the Gemara clearly says, two different biblical mitzvot will not cancel one another out in your mouth. Yes? So far, so good.
So you can put the kol in Pesach and your matzah and eat it?
Excellent question. We will learn Pesachim one day, and then you'll understand why the question isn't the question.
okay.
Let's continue. No, no, it's a good question. Let's wait till we get there. It's an excellent question. But the Gemara discusses exactly that. That's what I'm saying. That's the exact discussion of the Gemara. Pesach and Matzah. That's exactly the discussion there. So let's wait till we get there. So he says, you see, mipnei shu'etzlam kedavar shel rishut. The rabbis understood that from a biblical perspective, the rabbinic mitzvot are like marshmallow fluff, like davar shel rishut, something that you could do at random. You want to do it, you don't want, don't do it. The Torah didn't tell you to do it, then vaten mitzvah, and therefore, it would cancel out a mitzvah. Everyone agrees you have to do every rabbinic institution. That's not the question. The question is from a biblical perspective. Do we say you're biblically obligated or not? Okay, so far we got good proofs. Are we going to continue the next 10 minutes or go over to Medrash? You guys want to do a little bit of Medrash?
I'm sorry, I forgot to remind you to bring your old Medrash.
I didn't remember you were supposed to remind me, even, you see? I just thought to myself, gee, it would be a good idea to bring it. You guys want to do Medrash now or do another 10 minutes of the Ramban? What's the vote? Medrash? Yeah, I knew that. We've been friends for a long time. Yeah, Medrash or Rambam?
I'd like to continue.
I knew that too, yeah.
I think I can continue. We're doing the
majority. Okay. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, Umidina Zakenatsmo. So, from the rules of the elder, you remember the Torah says, if there's a dispute in the courts and then you go up to the high court in Jerusalem and in the high court they rule one way and one elder goes back to town and rules his own way against the high court, then he is called the rebellious elder and he gets a death penalty. So from over there we said he must argue with them on an issue that's biblical, right? The Torah says if he argues on a biblical issue. Umidina zaken atzmo mitbarer ha'inyan be'ur nachon. And from the rules of that rebellious elder, those rules themselves, you could learn a clear, correct understanding as to how this works. Ki kol ma shechashav v'darash ba'arav eino emet. Welcome to Rishonim. When you read Rishonim, they don't mince words. So, on the one hand, the Ramban calls the Rambam the rabbi. Talks about him in respect. On the other hand, he could say a sentence like he just said. Everything the rabbi thought and explained and derived is not true. Very simple. Aval davar baruch hu, but what's clear is, says the Ramban, what's clear is she'ino na'asa zaken mamre al shel divrem klal. He could never become a rebellious elder over something that is rabbinic. Period. Ve'kach amu sham beperek hanechnakim. And this is what the Talmud says over there in Tractate Sanhedrin, the chapter that's called Hanechnakim, the people that get the death penalty of Chenek. לדברי רבי מאיר שאינו חייב אלא בדבר שזדונו קראת ושגדתו חטאת וגמיר אלם מפר אלם דבר של ציבור. According to the opinion of Rabbi Meir, that a rebellious elder would never be held accountable, he would never get the death penalty unless he argued with them on a matter where זדונו קראת, if you purposely do that sin, you get cut off kares, like Shabbos, right? Or eating forbidden fats of the animals. V'shigato chatat, and if you're in error, then there's the chata sacrifice. V'gmir ilam yipar ilam davar shetzibur, and he derives it from the rules of par ilam davar, that's one of the sacrifices. V'hat, okay, I guess we have to explain, what's a par ilam davar? We'll go off on a tangent for a minute, just so we know what we're talking about. And we're about to slaughter some holy cows, excuse the pun. The Torah tells us, we have a high court, right? They rule on all our questions. If Ryan bought a new shaver, he comes to the high court. I didn't know I was right.
No.
Not yet. Okay, he comes to the high court and says to them, is this shaver like a knife or not? The Torah prohibits shaving with a knife, with a razor. They look at it and they say, excellent shaver, permitted. If Ryan goes on YouTube, publishes, the high court says, this shaver is a good shaver. All the Jews start using it. I publish it on TorahForMe.org, and that's it. You have more than 50% of the Jewish people using this shaver. Norelco sends a donation to the High Court of $3 million. The High Court says, wait a second, we have to reanalyze these Norelco shavers. Wait a second.
Why?
We got a donation, something suspicious. So they look back, And they say, call up Ephraim. They say, bring us back your razor. We want to look at it again. So he comes back with his shaver. They look at it. They look at it. They start filling at their beards, and they say, gee, we made a mistake. Ephraim, we're very, very sorry. This shaver is non-kosher. Ephraim says, but I've become famous on YouTube now. They say, you could still be famous. Go publish. Let everyone know it's not a kosher shaver anymore. Norelko says, we've canceled the check. The High Court is faced with a dilemma. They've given a ruling where over 50% of the population followed their ruling and did something that technically they should bring a chata sacrifice. Right? Ephraim says, rabbis, who pays for the sacrifice, me or you? Right? There's a halacha. If a rabbi gives you a ruling in error, he has to cover the results sometimes. Sometimes yeah, and sometimes no. So Ephraim says, who covers the cow? They say, wait, we got to first do a census. See how many people sinned. They come to the conclusion over 50% of the population sinned because of them. We have a special mitzvah in the Torah called Par Elam Dovar Shel Tzibur, that the high court brings a sacrifice. You don't have to bring one. None of your friends have to bring one. No one has to bring one other than them. If they caused over 50% of the population to sin, then they bring the sacrifice. Mitzvah in the Torah. So why do I say we're slaughtering some holy cows? Because people like to think, if I go to the courts, if I go to the rabbi and he gives me an answer, he's infallible. Well, in Judaism, there's no concept of infallibility. We don't believe in that. The Torah says everyone's fallible. Everyone can make a mistake. Even the high court. The people we have a mitzvah to listen to, right? We're just learning about that. You have a mitzvah to listen to them. They're not infallible. Says the Torah, they might have made a mistake. And if they made a mistake, then they have to bring a sacrifice to atone for themselves. So far, so good. We're all together.
So what to do with the shaver?
The shaver is a problem. If that's how they rule, that's it. What can you do? So, Rabbi Meir says he has a derivation from the laws of Par Halam Davar Shel Tzibur. The courts are only responsible to bring this sacrifice if they erred on an issue like this, where if you do it willfully, the punishment is kares. If you do it by mistake, the punish is you have to bring a chata sacrifice. Not every prohibition has that weight. You know, a guy says Lashon Hara, the high court says, we'll pick a name out of a hat. Mr. Magoo is a Rasha, you're allowed to say Lashon Hara about him. Everyone starts talking bad about him. Then they say, actually, we've made a mistake. There's no kares on that. There's no chatas on that. You know, it has to be a prohibition that there's kares and chatas. So, when it comes to the rebellious elder, Rabbi Meir says, I have a derivation. Just like the high courts would only bring a sacrifice over something which is shigigoso chatas, which the mistake, the price for it would be a chata sacrifice. By the same token, the rebellious elder can only be held, can only be given the death penalty. He's only chayav if he argued with them on something that's shigigoso chatas. So far, so good. Yes. Yeah.
So who's shigigoso chatas again?
Shigigoso chatas. Shigigoso shigoga is by mistake. If by mistake, you would have to bring a chata sacrifice.
Yeah.
Shigigoso chatas. Its mistake would result in bringing a chata sacrifice. So, back to the Ramban. He's quoting the Gemara. L'divrei Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says, according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir, Sheino chayav, that the zokin mamre, the rebellious elder, is not chayav, is not held accountable. Ela bidavar shezdono karet v'shigigato chatat, only in a matter where, if he did it on purpose, he'd get kares. If he did it by mistake, he'd bring a chata sacrifice. And he derives it from this cow, the par helam davar. He'elam means hidden, like hide and seek, right? He'elam davar, something was hidden from the congregation, from the leaders of the congregation. He derives it from that case. Dehatam, so over there, en chayavin al shum isur shel divrehem. If the courts misguided you on something that's a rabbinic prohibition, they wouldn't be held accountable. We said it's only specific biblical ones. But if they told you, what's a good rabbinic institution? a good rabbinic prohibition. Let's see. They said, you know what? When you eat a pita, you don't have to wash your hands before you eat a pita. So the rabbi said, you have to wash your hands before bread. They said, yeah, but not pita. So then we say, no, what do you mean? That's a rabbinic institution. They made a mistake, but they don't have to bring a sacrifice over there. So far, so good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's his proof against the Rambam. You, Rambam, you say that biblical every rabbinic institution is biblical. And the rebellious elder can become rebellious over certain aspects of rabbinic institutions. Wait a second. Not even every biblical one. Certainly not rabbinic ones. Because it is derived, because the Zaken Mamre is derived from where? Adam, where is it derived from? Where do we derive the rebellious elder from? From Parhelam Dover Shaltzibur, from the cow that the elders would bring if they said something in error. We derive the rebellious elder from the case of them misguiding Bor Ephraim, right? Wherever they would be, wherever they would have to bring a korban for giving you a ruling in error, that's where the rebellious elder would be held accountable for going against them. And they would never have to bring the cow if they erred in guiding you on a rabbinic institution, nor on any biblical mitzvah, only on something that they would actually, if someone erred in that, he would have to bring, he would get curries for doing it, for sinning purposely, as is explicitly stated in the Gemara Horios. So that's Rabbi Meir's opinion in the Talmud there. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says the rebellious elder, if he argues on the rabbis, even if he disagrees with the rabbis on a proactive commandment. Let's say the rabbis say the tefillin shel rosh have to be black. He says, no, they have to be gray. Comes to the high court, they tell him, no, black. He goes back home, he says, yeah, but really it's gray. So Rabbi Yehuda says, that even, that's not a good example, because that's Halacha Moshe Messina. That's not, okay. He says, you don't have to wear tefillin every day. The rabbis say, you do have to wear tefillin every day. So, Rabbi Yehuda says, even on something that's a mitzvah, it's not an avera. Even if he'd argue with them on a mitzvah, say, mipnei shikarom divrei Torah, anything that has a basis in Torah, if the rebellious elder disagrees with them, he gets a death penalty. Uperushom divrei sofrim, and it's the explanation is a tradition, but the mitzvah is biblical. Tedarish Torah v'yorucha. And here we're really going into a beautiful tangent, which we have to learn. We'll have to save that for next time. I'm sorry, we're out of time. So we'll have to pick up with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion next time, Bezrat Hashem.
Rabbi, we...